Welcome to the No Sports Report, a production of iHeartRadio and Treefort Media. My name is Jensen Karp, and I'm a sports fan. So I'm concerned about a lot of things. The NBA playoffs, the start of a baseball season, the Stanley Cup. But above everything else, I'm most concerned about the high five. It's an athletic institution. It was arguably invented by LA Dodgers outfielder Glenn Burke and Dusty Baker after a 1977 home run, and now its entire future is under review. Will germs take away the easiest way to celebrate your favorite player doing something cool? Will it be replaced by a head nod, or a polite bow, or like a running man from 6 feet away? It's things like this that keep me up at night. And I need my rest, because I'm continuing to talk to athletes and sports industry professionals about what they're doing in quarantine, hoping to figure out if they miss competing as much as I miss watching it. This is the No Sports Report. One of my favorite NBA players is Enes Kanter, and for many reasons. You see, this guy went through a lot to play professional basketball in the United States. He left his family behind in his dangerous homeland of Turkey, a country whose government he's criticized publicly, and as a result received serious death threats and been completely disavowed from speaking to his relatives still living there. And on top of that, at 17 years old, he had to hop from high school to high school, trying to find a program that would find him eligible to play, despite having a professional contract at one point in another country. And after finally playing in a senior year at a school in Simi Valley, California, he committed to Kentucky, the basketball institution that planned to thrust him into the spotlight and get him ready for professional competition. Well, that is until they found him ineligible too. The good news about Kanter is that since these false starts, he's put together quite an impressive NBA career. Drafted by the Utah Jazz and then traded to the OKC Thunder, where he was the first player in franchise history to score at least 30 points and grab 20 rebounds in a game. He's since made himself a dependable utility player, especially in the playoffs, with stops in New York, Portland, and the team he signed with right before the 2020 season, the Boston Celtics. He's been a fan favorite at every stop, even though his true passion seems to be that of a despicable WWE heel. I talked to Enes in depth about his eventual career in pro wrestling, the lovable enigma that is Taco Fall, the end of Ramadan and quarantine, and if the Undertaker's eye roll thing is real. Get ready to have a brand new favorite basketball player on this episode of the No Sports Report.
Call from
Enes Kanter.
To accept, press 1.
Hello, Enes.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. So I wanted to start off by asking, where are you currently quarantined and how is it going for you?
In Chicago right now.
Okay. And how would you say you're surviving?
I'm surviving pretty good, you know, because right now we are in our houses and literally just doing nothing. I'm not going to lie, I gained 7 to 8 pounds.
Oh, great. Good. But
the good thing is it's Ramadan. So like I'm probably having like the easiest Ramadan I ever had.
See, now I was going to ask you about that. We're talking on one of the last days of Ramadan, and I wanted to know, it seems to me, now here's my thing, it would be harder for me during quarantine because I have more time alone to think about food.
Well, true, that's one way to look at it. But like, well, if you're playing a game, if you're practicing, if you are working out, trust me, it is so much harder than just sitting at home just thinking about food.
Right.
But like right now, I mean, obviously I'm still trying to work out and stuff, but it's definitely the easiest I ever had.
So I know such a big part of Ramadan is staying connected with the community and being able to meet mm-hmm. and go to a mosque. And that is something that has been taken away this year from you. How are you trying your hardest to stay connected?
I mean, it's definitely tough because Ramadan is all about relaxing your body and soul and also focusing on your inner world and listening to yourself to be a better person. Mm-hmm. And then also, again, just because of this is happening, it is not possible to just go out there and do iftar. Iftar means like breaking your fast yeah. with family and loved ones. Because if you don't know anything about Ramadan, this is how I explain it. It is 30 Thanksgiving Day dinners in a row.
Right.
You know, because you fast all day and then end of the night, you come with friends and families and, you know, loved ones, and the ones you care about, and just have dinner with them and share things with them. So it is more than just food. But just because of this pandemic's happened, obviously it's not possible, but, you know, we're still trying to do some kind of connection over the Zoom or something.
Right. And speaking of celebrating, you, like many of the people I've talked to on this podcast, which is startling to me, you celebrated a birthday while in quarantine. What did you do? What did you do for the big day?
It was a sad birthday, obviously, because like birthday is all about going out there, hanging out with your friends, celebrating with your loved ones. But I will just sit at home. I ate a lot of cookies. I'm not going to lie. I ate a lot of cookies. It was like a cheat day for me, for sure.
Sure.
But, you know, it was just like, it was a quiet birthday.
Okay. Because I don't want to imagine Enes Kanter just alone at a table with a cupcake with one, you know, candle in it. Well, I wanted to know, I've read that you are a big reader. You love documentaries. What have you watched? What have you read during this time?
There's actually a show on Netflix I really like. It's Dirty Money. I don't know if you ever heard that before.
I did a little bit because there's a big Jared Kushner episode, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
And I mean, they talk about lots of things. I mean, obviously, instead of just watching a movie and getting nothing out of it, I was just like, you know what? This is like quarantine time. So I'm just going to like not waste my time, but actually use it in good. So like, I'm actually watching that. There's actually a really interesting show called The Family on Netflix too.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the people, so like that's why I wanted to watch it.
Okay.
But with the books, you know, there's a really good motivational book that Coach Brad Stevens actually gave it to us during the season, Leaders Eat Last.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's especially on this time you need motivation, because like when you sit in your house and it's like you don't feel like just going out there and working out, you know. So like right now, I think that book has been just amazing to me, and I'm sure the other book players too. So it's been very productive, you know.
Yeah. Did you get into The Last Dance at all?
I did actually watch it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I mean, you're talking about goosebumps, man. And it's like when you watch that documentary, I'm like, oh, like right now I want to just go out there and start playing basketball, like right now. But like,
right.
It was the best time to put it out there because everyone at home, they are dying to just watch any kind of sport activities. But I think The Last Dance was definitely like a breath, you know?
Yeah. Was there anything, I mean, Jordan's mind frame was so rare and so unique. Did it bring to mind any teammate you've ever had? Was there, when you saw it, did it bring back any memory of someone you've played with?
I will say maybe Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
But if you look at his mindset, if you look at his mentality, I would say Kobe Bryant for sure.
Right.
Because, I mean, obviously, they just give it some 100%. They don't care about no haters or distraction. They focus on what they need to focus on. And it just becomes not just like a sport that they play. It becomes like a lifestyle, you know? So it's not like going to practice and work out 2 hours or going to play 2 hours and leave. No, mm-hmm. It just becomes a lifestyle.
Sure.
You know, I think it's just with mentality and what they do on and off the court was just amazing.
You have a very rare perspective on the global pandemic and the globe in general, because you have a grasp on so many cultures, whether it's Swiss or Turkish or mm-hmm. these. I wrote down the United States you've lived in. I've probably missed some, but here's a list I wrote down quickly. Nevada, West Virginia, California, Kentucky, Utah, Oklahoma City, New York, Boston, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. So what have you noticed about the differences in these states and what you're seeing happen during this major event amongst people, the reactions that people are having?
I mean, I'll just say this first. Our world are experiencing something like never experienced before.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you turn on the news, man, it's like there's so much negative news and people forgetting the main goal. Like when you turn on the news, there's like, okay, this side is attacking this side, Democrats attacking the Republicans, people attacking this. Like we are forgetting our main goal. Main goal should be like, okay, how can we get through this together? You know, I feel like around this time, there's a lot of positivity, but every state, every city doing some different things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it was the mayor of Vegas was talking to Anderson Cooper,
mm-hmm.
and I was like heartbroken by what she said. It's like, oh my God. But at the same time, I listened to the mayor of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she is just, well, probably right now, like doing one of the most funniest and the safest, I guess, mayor that out there. I don't know if you follow her on Twitter. She's like, your jump shot was broke and it's going to stay broke after quarantine. So just like stay in the house.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, just people are forgetting the main goal. It's just like, we should just stay as one and fight against this together. Not like, this said this, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, you have lived in both red states and blue states your entire time here in America. And I guess you've been able to see both sides. And like you're saying, the best case scenario is that we could at least work together to beat a global pandemic.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
When you were growing up, your mother was a nurse. Nowadays, we depend on them more than ever. This is clearly a sacrificial job. It really shined a light for me on medical workers on the front line. Did you always know growing up that your mom was putting her life on the line?
I actually did not. You know, till this happened, I didn't know how, obviously I knew how, you know, valuable the, doctors and nurses are, but I didn't know this much. I mean, literally, they put their, not just their life, their family's life on the line, too, to make the world better and healthier. And it's a huge sacrifice, because those doctors and nurses have kids in their houses, have, you know, husbands and wives in their houses. And they literally just say, okay, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice for my whole family and my life and try to make people better. And so now I appreciate more definitely. I appreciate teachers and I appreciate the, you know, the nurses born on, because like you ask anybody, I don't have a kid, but like whoever I talk to, they said the homeschooling is the worst. They go, kids are going crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so like, so I feel like the, you know, the teachers and nurses, man, they're so precious.
I'll throw in supermarket workers as well. I never saw them as frontline workers, and now they're my heroes.
Exactly.
A little bit of basketball talk. The NBA season rumors returning soon. I want to know, this is a very broad question, but if you had to pick somewhere to hang out for about a month or two, would you go to Las Vegas or would you go to Disney World?
I have a different perspective. I feel like the West maybe should play in Vegas and Eastern Conference should play in Orlando. And then after the final, they can just go to one place. Because if you're trying to move the whole Lakers to Orlando, it will be like a 4 or 5 hour thing, you know?
Yeah.
Or if you want to move to, I don't know, like us all the way to Vegas, it's a like 4 or 5 hour thing. But like, I mean, if I had to pick, obviously, I will, because of the mayor of Vegas, I'm kind of scared of Vegas right now.
Right, right.
I might pick Orlando because obviously, because of Disney, they said, obviously, we cannot go out there and hang out. But, like, I'll probably say Orlando.
Well, they're saying, I mean, these are, again, rumors, but they're going to have families there and stuff. So they do think they might open some parts of Disney World for people to have some life outside of the game. So I'm voting for Disney World with you.
I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it, but, I mean, good luck.
I mean, and that's a bigger question for you. After the Adam Silver call, which you've been rather candid about and discussions within your team, do you feel safe?
I would just say this, not from my team, not from the Celtics, but there's so many players out there that do not want to play,
mm-hmm.
I heard. Because, like, it's a huge risk. And they're saying, I'm not going to risk my life to just go out and play basketball. But, I mean, if you're asking me, if you're asking my other Celtics teammates, I mean, they trust the NBA. And I think Adam Silver has been doing an amazing job, especially every other major league are taking an example of what NBA is doing. Because NBA was the first league to suspend itself.
Yeah.
So NBA and Adam Silver played a huge role on this. If the NBA opens up, I know other major league going to open up too. So, I mean, if it's all safe to go, yes, I would love to play.
Yeah, and it's day-to-day. And I, like you said, Adam Silver is different than any other league commissioner. And he even just as a fan and players I love, like you guys in Boston and so many teams, I mean, it's like I trust him enough.
Yeah, I haven't said that if they cancel the season, they should give the MVP to Adam Silver.
They should. I also say that a funny MVP vote would be to Lonzo Ball because he was the only guy who would come out on the court to that game that they canceled. Did you ever see that?
I did not see that, no.
He just came and practiced by himself. I was like, there's your MVP. He has nothing else going on. He doesn't care about a huge pandemic. My big question here. Do you miss Taco Fall as much as I do?
You know, when I saw him first in the summer league last summer, when he was playing, I'm like, this dude going to be a rock star.
Yeah.
You know, because not a superstar, a rock star. Because, like, his personality, how humble he is, how down-to-earth he is. Cool. His locker room is right next to mine.
Yeah.
Good locker room guy, always bringing positive energy. Obviously, man, we do miss the guy. We FaceTime probably, like, 3-4 times a week.
Aww.
And see how, like, how he's doing and stuff. Yeah, he's a good dude, man. I like him a lot.
And you guys as a team have been doing Instagram Lives?
We did do Instagram Lives, but we do a lot of Zoom conferences. Because, like, you still want to build that team chemistry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every Tuesday, we have chapels. And every Wednesday, actually, we have this motivational talk that we invite some celebrities to come and give us a talk.
Right.
Mark Wahlberg came. David Ortiz and Paul Pierce came.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Jeong came from Hangover.
Yeah.
And Terry Crews came. So it's been so nice to see your teammates.
More with Enes Kanter after this. Right now, Feeding America is working tirelessly to ensure our most vulnerable populations, like students who are out of school, the elderly, individuals whose jobs are impacted, and low-income families, continue to have access to food and other needed resources during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Feeding America Food Bank Network is committed to serving communities and people facing hunger in America, and their greatest need is donations and support of local food banks. This podcast is committed to donating a portion of the proceeds from the show to Feeding America, and we hope that you can join us in this effort too. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org/COVID-19. And now, the rest of my chat with the Boston Celtics, Enes Kanter. Well, let's get into what I really want to talk about, which is WWE. I am a big fan. I also, in a prior life, I was a writer of Monday Night Raw back in 2005. Oh, so I can hang with you.
Amazing.
Yeah, I can hang with you. When did you start watching, and what drove you to be such a fan of pro wrestling?
Okay, so first time I started watching, I was in college, you know, because I couldn't get to college basketball because of some, you know, eligibility stuff, because I played professional league, whatever. So and then I was like, wanted to get on hobby, and I started watching it when I was 17 years old, and I'm like, wow, this is like so amazing. Mm-hmm. And I actually went to one of the matches in Indiana, because it's close to Kentucky. It was like, this is my world. I'm going to become a wrestler. I remember watching Kane. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, this is amazing. And after that, you know, I was just like, keep watching it, but like, my favorite was Undertaker, obviously. But the most heartbroken moment I had in my whole NBA and so whole American life, that when Undertaker lost in WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar.
It was so shocking.
Oh, my Lord.
It's hard to tell people who aren't into wrestling what it meant.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I really, truly felt it was the streak. It was the Cal Ripken streak. I thought it was supposed to be the thing that never gets broken. And then there it went away so fast.
I can't believe they did that. I was so heartbroken. You have no idea. I actually got to meet him. So I was playing for the Knicks. Uh-huh. I actually got to meet a lot of the wrestlers, like John Cena and stuff. I actually get to meet with Ronda Rousey. I'm like, oh, she's a sweetheart. She was so nice. And I'm like, how is she like that where she was fighting? She's like one of the like, nicest person I know.
Yeah.
And then I met Undertaker.
Yeah, well, that was the weirdest part about writing there. It's like, you know, you go in there as someone who just watched on television. I mean, I had a different history. I mean, most kids in America, we ended up watching pro wrestling, you know, Hulk Hogan and such growing up. And you know good guys and bad guys. And then there you are in catering. And, you know, Rey Mysterio is eating, you know, a hot dog. And he's sitting next to, you know, Shawn Michaels, who's talking about his weekend. It's just like, this is just a workplace. And that's the weirdest feeling.
Yeah. So I actually went to the backstage. I saw some of the wrestlers, girls and guys. I'm like, oh my God, this is so amazing. But same time, it's so weird. I actually got to meet with Undertaker in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
He came to my locker room, and I was wanting to like know that the eye rolling thing is fake or not. And I asked him, and I took a video of it. It's actually on my Instagram. And it's real. He did that. So I sit down and talk to him a little bit. He asked me, like, how old are you, kid? I'm like, I am. Back then, I was like 25.
Yeah.
So I'm 25 years old. He's like, I got boots older than you. I'm like, okay. But like, he was my like idol. My knees were shaking.
Yeah.
Just because of my play for the Knicks. Paul Heyman actually just comes to some of our games, and he's actually my really good friend. Mm-hmm. He actually is like, hey, let's go. You're like, are we doing this? I'm like, dude, like, relax. I got to finish my basketball career first. Then I am all yours.
Well, I did want to talk about that. Number one, Heyman rules. Shout out to Paul Heyman, a great guy.
Yeah.
You were able to make an appearance in the WWE already at one of the most historic buildings for that business, which is Madison Square Garden. You won the 24/7 title, even if for just a few minutes. What was it like to be in that ring for you?
Oh, you have no idea. I was so nervous. And Paul Heyman said, you're going to be the one of the most hated person in New York that night. Are you ready for it? I'm like, I born for this. Let's go. So like, I pinned them. I won the title. I revealed my jersey. It was a Celtics jersey. The whole crowd was booing. Because
yeah.
I played for that team. They should love me.
Sure.
But the whole crowd was booing. For me, it was just like a lifetime experience. I actually, in the backstage, I got to meet with Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. I talked to the Triple H a little bit. He's like, make sure you keep my number in your phone. I'm like, okay, sure.
That's great. Do you feel more confident as a heel over a babyface?
for sure. Oh my God, I'm gonna be a heel. I'll be the heel, like the biggest heel that WWE ever seen.
What is it that you like about being? I mean, I know you troll certain people. Obviously, this last week you put up a little bit of a troll on Giannis and Harden, and then you know you've went at LeBron in the past. I mean, is that kind of where you feel you know the most fun?
I feel like it is more fun. It's like entertaining people more. And it's like, for me, it's all about like get on people's face and trash talk them and troll them. I don't cuss, but I trash talk a lot. But it's just definitely more fun to just go out there and just be a heel, be a bad guy. I don't know why. I just like it better.
What do you think about Gronk as your current 24/7 champion?
So the SummerSlam was going to be in Boston in at TD Garden this summer, but I think it's canceled. Sure. So I was thinking, like, if me and Gronk go against each other, the Boston crowd will go crazy.
Crazy.
You know?
The only way you can get that to be bigger is if Brady is the ref.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right now, they probably hate him so much.
With a huge reveal of his jersey.
Yeah.
Who would you say are your current favorite superstars if you're watching every week?
Oh, man, I got so many of them right now. Hold on. I like the big dog.
Sure.
I like the big dog a lot. From the girls, actually, that Dana Brooke was my really good friend.
Yes.
I'd probably say her.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch WrestleMania? And what did you think of those cinematic matches, those sort of out-of-the-ring movie things?
Oh, my God. WrestleMania was, like, the biggest event, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, this year was, like, so awkward and weird because with no fans.
Right.
It's like you only hear, like, the wrestling moves and the ring, whatever, but nothing else. Because WrestleMania is all about the fans going crazy, wildness, whatever. But it was a little awkward, but they still did it. I guess I'll take it.
Did you like the stuff that was outside of the rings? You know, these kind of like movie matches?
I like it too, yeah.
Okay. What would be the Enes Kanter movie match? Like if you had to set up a cinematic thing, would we start in a basketball court? Where would we be?
I think just because I'm coming from basketball, so like I'll be playing one-on-one with somebody, and then as soon as he's, like, taking a shot, right, I'm probably just, like, attacking him and just, like, I don't know, just body slamming him. But, like, 24/7, I told one of my friends, like, can I, like, tombstone him? He's like, you're not there yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you're not there yet. You don't want to break nobody's neck.
Yeah, tombstone is the one move that I think Undertaker is the only one really allowed to do it because it's so dangerous.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I think my dream for cinematic matches at this point is that it is the only way we could get the dream match of Undertaker versus Sting.
Oh, wow.
See? Because Sting doesn't have to keep up. He's older, but in the cinematic match, you can hide it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know what? That would be crazy, yeah.
I hope it happens. You have been very open about your plans to become a sports entertainment superstar when you do retire. And you said recently the open door offer from Vince seems to be there. When you watch any wrestling, do you think to yourself, now that's who I need to have a match with? Is there someone that you see out there that you're like, that's my guy that I got to take down?
Oh, man. Hold on, man. I'm trying to think. I want to say, like, Big Show.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm going for Big. Going for Big Show.
Yeah, see, you're the opposite of me. You see someone very big, and you go, oh, I got to take him down. I think, who's in 205? Who's the smallest guy that I could go for?
Exactly. One of the smallest guys that they attended, wasn't it? The Beetlejuice, whatever?
Oh, yeah. They have the guy, Chad Gable.
Oh, yeah, yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yep, Chad, yep.
He's very little. Are there any other NBA guys that you know who are huge wrestling fans like you that you connect with?
I'm trying to think. I don't think so. I can't remember any, yeah.
Yeah. I think you might be the king of it.
Hey, I'll take it.
I also think you'd be good as a tag team, and I would love to suggest Taco as your partner.
Oh, my God. I was actually thinking of two person, either Taco or Steven Adams. Oh, it would be huge.
Steven would be incredible. Steven also would love to play the heel with you.
I think so.
Yeah.
Either of them will be like, it'll go viral.
Yes. He's a true, like you, I think he finds his happiest moments as a heel.
Right. I think so.
When you think about it, when do you see yourself going there? How many years do you think you have left in the NBA when you look at wrestling and think you'd be making a transition?
So I think I'm hoping to play 5 more years.
Okay.
So I got to finish at least like 14, 15 years in the league.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
That would be incredible. And then pro wrestling, man.
I hope so. Yeah, I know. It'll be amazing.
Okay. So I think all wrestling fans have distinct moments from watching it over the, uh, time of their lives, you know, just sort of little moments that they connect with. Like I remember when Chris Jericho debuted in the WWE, I was a sophomore in college, or CM Punk's pipe bomb. I was at my apartment in West Hollywood writing on a project I hated. Do you remember your milestone moments, things that you know coming up, whether in college or rookie year in the NBA? What was something that you remember from WWE that you look back and it's your favorite?
I remember like when I was in Kentucky, the Undertaker had a match against the Kane. So they're like brothers, right?
Yep.
But when they're both like this like scary character. Mm-hmm. But when they go at each other, I think that's definitely one of my favorite.
The Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah.
That's right. And the Paul Bear, who might be their dad, I think it's still kind of up in the air if he's their real biological father.
I know. Yeah, RIP to him, man.
I know. RIP Paul Bear. So we usually end with something positive and then something stupid, but I'm going to change it up today. Let's first ask you, is there anything that has happened during the pandemic that you hope we keep as a practice, even when things clear up and we're out in the real world again? Is there any sort of new human behavior that you hope sticks?
I think like this pandemic showed how much we needed each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now our world needs players the most. I feel like that's what I'm really focusing on. I mean, it doesn't matter what your religion, what your skin color, what your ethnicity, or what your background. I feel like the most important thing in life is leave your difference on the table and trying to find what we have in common. So right now, this pandemic is showing how much we need each other, and we just need to just go out there and just fight against one.
Well said. Well, I usually do suggestions here at the end, but I figured we'd do something a little different. People always talk about their wrestling Mount Rushmore, the top four guys of all time. It's trended on Twitter, I don't know, handfuls of times.
Okay.
And a lot of superstars and legends have jumped in with their opinions. So we each pick our top four wrestlers of all time. These are the faces that are to be etched into the side of the mountain. I can go first if you want, so you can collect your thoughts.
You go first. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I have... Number one, I have him for sure. He changed the game. This dude is the most the most famous man on the planet. He started in pro wrestling. I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson is my first induction into Mount Rushmore.
Yep.
My second is a glass-shattering Stone Cold Steve Austin. I think if you look back at the legends and all the moments and the things that have happened, Stone Cold is at the front and center of all of it. He was the Attitude Era as one person, so I say Steve Austin. Third, I think you never get to where we are right now in the WWE if it wasn't for the first initial boom. So you have to say Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Oh my God, you're picking the good one. Okay.
All right. No, listen, there's a lot left. Hulk Hogan up there. Listen, let's pretend he never said anything weird. Hulk Hogan, the wrestler, not the man. Okay. Fourth. Now, this is my controversial pick because there's a lot out there, and I know your number one was right on the cusp of being my number four.
Okay.
But my number four is Vince McMahon.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Okay. Because the character, not even the man, I'll say the man, obviously he started the whole thing, but the character of Vince McMahon, I think pushed wrestling. And also like his matches are really in the Attitude Era were really fun and good. So that's my fourth member. So those are my four.
Not bad.
The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, and Vince McMahon. Not bad.
Okay. So let me give you my four. First, obviously, Undertaker. I got to go with Undertaker. He's my favorite.
Yep.
The second, like you said, I'm going with, you know, The Rock.
Yes.
I think, you know, like you said, what he did for wrestling, it was just amazing. Third one, I'm going with Ric Flair.
Oh, there you go. Good one.
Yeah, I'm going with Ric Flair. I think it just Ric Flair, just the woos and everything was just so amazing.
Wait, so was your first connection to Ric Flair like when you were at Kentucky? Like you had not seen the earlier sort of Southern WCW stuff?
I did not, no.
You have a lot of good YouTube videos.
I know. My last one, probably Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, right. That's not bad. You have Undertaker, The Rock, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan. We share The Rock and Hulk Hogan, and then obviously your Undertaker was going to be one. I mean, listen, I can only hope that one day I remove Vince McMahon from my number four and I replace it with Enes Kanter.
Oh, wow. Hey, I love that. I love that idea.
That's my goal. Well, Enes, thank you so much for talking to me, and please stay safe and healthy and have a great end to your Ramadan. I'm excited for you to start eating in bulk.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it, man.
The No Sports Report is produced and distributed by Treefort Media. The show is executive produced by Kelly Garner, Lisa Ammerman, Matthew Kugler, and me, Jensen Karp. Tom Monahan is our senior audio engineer and sound supervisor, with production and editing by Jasper Leek. Additional production help from Tim Schauer, June Rosen, and Haley Mandelberg. Our theme music is composed by Spilkas. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please subscribe, rate us, and review us on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And please visit feedingamerica.org. If you're able to make a donation, any amount makes a difference, and you can learn more about other ways you can help on their website. For more information on the No Sports Report, links to the socials, and for show transcripts for our hearing impaired listeners, go to treefort.fm. Be safe and be well. The No Sports Report is a production of iHeartRadio and Treefort Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.